Okay, today's daf is Shabbat Daf Hey. We're at the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Bet. We just said that it seems like our Shita and our Mishnah could be in accordance with Rebbe's Shita, because Rebbe does not require a proper Akira or Hanacha from a place that is Dalet al Dalet, 4x4 Tfachim. I think I may have said Amot in the last year. It's 4x4 Tfachim. So Rebbe doesn't require that. In which case, it would seem that our Mishnah could accord like him, and that's why if the Ani receives it in his hand from the Balabayit's hand, then he would still be Chayav. We're going to challenge and suggest that actually, for a different reason, this can't be Rebbe's Shita. Ha'it marala, Rav Shmuel Damri Tarvayhu, lo mechayev Rebbe ela Rishuti Yachid Mekura. But Rav and Shmuel taught together that when is it that Rebbe says that you're Chayav for something transferring a domain, even when it's just acquired by the airspace and not when it comes to an actual rest in the ground, that's only in a private domain that has a roof over it. The Amrinan bita kamadamalia damia, because we say that a house with a roof over it, we see as if it's full, meaning we don't see a house as if it's just an empty airspace, such that if something passes through, then the airspace acquires it. Rather, we see a house as if it were filled to the top, as if an entire house from floor, walls to ceiling is filled up, and that's why something passes through it. It's like it's resting on the ground, not because the airspace is automatically going to acquire it, as we initially thought, but rather because we see it as though it's on something solid. It's on solid ground. We see the house as if it is completely, completely filled rather than hollow. We see a completely enclosed space with a roof over it as if it were filled and not hollow, and therefore it's not the airspace that's acquiring it. We just see it as though it's literally resting. Aval she'enu mekura lo. Right? However, if there's no roof on it, that's not how we see it, in which case Rebbe can't be the author of our Mishnah, v'chitei ma'achanami mekura. And if you want to say, oh, then just say that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the place it has a roof over it, and therefore everything makes sense. If our Mishnah is talking about a place with a roof, and Rebbe says that whenever there's a roof, then we see it as though it's resting on the ground, then we're fine. You can't say that. That would work as far as a private domain with a roof on it. Then we can say that's Rebbe Shita. Private domain with a roof on it is like it's resting on the ground, and therefore you're chayev. However, that wouldn't work with a public domain, because a public domain with a roof on it, no one's mechayev. You could have a public domain with a roof over it, and we still don't say that you're chayev. As if we're resting on the ground. How do you know that? Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Amavir Chavit, Dalat Amar Rosh Rabim, Mekura Pater, Levisha Enu Doma, Digle Midbar. We have an explicit teaching that if you transfer something for Amot in a Rishut HaYachid, I'm sorry, in a Rishut HaRabim, you're going to be exempt. Because, if you've transferred something in a Rishut HaRabim with a roof on it, you're going to be exempt. Because this is dissimilar to the transferring that was seen in the Midbar. As we learned that all the Malachot come from actions performed in the Mishkan, and the transferring of something in a public domain under a roof, which we're obligated in because it was done in the Mishkan, we're obligated in transferring for Amot and Rishut HaRabim, but if that Rishut HaRabim has a roof on it, it's too dissimilar to what was done in the Mishkan itself, and therefore it's Pater. So if you want to say that this whole case is talking about where there's a roof over it, still you'd have a problem, because no one says you're Chayav and Rishut HaRabim with a roof over it. So this can't be Rabbi Shita, Ela, I'm Rabbi Zera, Hamani, Acherim. So it must be the Shita of Acherim. The Tanya, Acherim, Omrim, Amad, Mekomo, Viki, Bel, Chayav, Akar, Mekomo, Viki, El, Pater. Acherim teach that if someone throws something to you and you stay in your place, and that thing lands in your hand, then the person who threw it is chayev, meaning he didn't really place it in your hand, but it had within the koach of his throwing to rest in your hand, so it's like he did both the akira and hanacha. However, if you went out of your way to catch it, you had to take a few steps over in order to catch it, then he's pater, because it would not have landed in your hand had you not gone out of your way. But if you're standing still, then he's chayev. Amad mekom v'kibel chayev. Ha ba'in and hanacha gavim makom dalad v'leika. But wait a second, why would he be chayev if he just lands in your hand? Doesn't he need a place that is for tzvachim in order to constitute a proper hanacha? Ela shmamina lo bayin makom arba. Rather, we can see from here that acherim don't believe that you need a place that is for tzvachim in order to constitute proper hanacha. V'tilma hanacha lo bayin and ha'akir bayin. Well, maybe we just say that's fine as far as the hanacha goes, but how do you know that they don't need an akira from a place that's dalal adad? V'nachanami. And also, you have a problem with when it comes to learning the hanacha. Dilma de pashit kanfe v'kible. Maybe we're talking about a case where you reached out your coat, the edge of your coat, and created a platform that is at least for tzvachim, and you caught it on your coat. The ikanami hanacha, in which case you do have a proper hanacha al dalad there. Amar Biava matniti in kigon shkibul v'traskal v'niachah v'traskal. So Biava says, no, you know what we're actually talking about here? We're talking about when he picked it up from a basket. The basket is dalad al dalad, and he put it into a basket. The balabait picks it up out of the basket, puts it in the basket of the ani. That's the case we're talking about. So you do have a proper dalad al dalad. The ikanami hanacha, right? So you do have a proper hanacha. The ha yado ketani, but 1 second, it says his hand. He put it in his hand. What do you mean he put it in his basket? Where are you getting that from? Tani just should be yado, right? Yeah, just. It's not that, it was a basket in his hand. That's what he meant. He put it in his hand. Yeah, basket in his hand. It's the same thing. Okay, well that, makes sense, I guess. As long as we're talking about a basket that is in a private domain, then that makes sense to say that he put it in a basket. But if you want to say that he transferred it, from a Rishut Yachid into a basket that was in the Rishut Rabim, that doesn't help you. Because a basket in the Rishut Rabim is a Rishut Yachid. The basket itself is now constitutes a Rishut Yachid, because it's a proper domain in and of itself. In which case, you're not transferring from Rishut Rabim to Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, right? If you put something from Rishut Rabim into a basket, then if you put something from a Rishut Yachid into a basket in Rishut Rabim, that's just putting something from a private domain to a private domain. The basket itself is a private domain. Lema de lo ke Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. No. We're fine as long as you don't follow the shita of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. Netanya Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Omer Natz Kanev Rishut Rabim, Barosho Traska, Zarek Vanacha Gaba, Vchaya. Because Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda says, if you stick a reed in the ground in the Rishut Rabim, and on top of it you put a basket, and then you throw something into that basket, and it rests on top of it, then you're chayev, because the basket constitutes its own domain as its own Rishut Yachid, and so now you're chayev for transferring something from Rishut Rabim to Rishut Yachid. That's Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda's shita. If you follow that shita, you have a problem, because the basket constitutes its own domain. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. Okay, so don't follow that shita. Because if you do follow that shita, Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, Pashad Balabayit Ed Yado Lechutz V'Natan Latoch Yado Shel Ani Amai Chayav. Because then you'd have a problem if the Balabayit sticks his hand from the Rishut Yachid until the Rishut Rabim, where the Ani is standing, and puts it in the Ani's basket, but he's basically just putting it in the Rishut Yachid, so then he wouldn't be Chayav if you follow that shita, if the basket constitutes its own Rishut Yachid, because then the Balabayit is transferring from private domain to a private domain. Rishut Yachid, Rishut Yachid, Kamafik. Afilu Tema, Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. No. Actually, you can say, even according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda's shita, we're fine. Hatam Lamala Miyud, Hachal Mata Miyud. Right? Because there, in that shita, when does it constitute its own domain? When it's out of the domain of the Rishut Rabim, and it's in a Makom Ptor, and then the basket it becomes its own domain as a Rishut Yachid, meaning you have to put it above 10 tefachim on the ground. Put it above 10 tefachim, then it becomes its own domain. If you put it below 10 tefachim in Rishut Rabim, then it still constitutes Rishut Rabim. Just want to point out that we are talking about putting a basket on top of a pole that is 10 something high and throwing something into it. And this, I believe, is the makor for basketball. Kashi le Rabbi Bayu. But either way, we have a difficulty for Rabbi Bayu. Why? Miketani traskal shabiyado. End of the day, we didn't teach basket, right? We taught hand. So it's a big ukim to say that we're talking about putting things in a basket here. If your whole sheet only works if you're putting something in a basket, it's difficult because it says hand. It taught that you put it in his hand. Rather, we must be talking about a case where he put his hand below three tefachim adjacent to the ground, because if it's within three tefachim of the ground, then we see it as if it's actually on the ground. Three tefachim, we don't see it as a significant height in order to constitute its own domain. So it's like you put it on the ground itself, and therefore the ground is a place that's dalad al-dalad, so you put it in someone's hand when he's that close to the ground, when he's in three tefachim of the ground, and it's like you put on the ground itself as a place of dalad al dalad, and then you're fine. The kabla, and there he received it. Vaha omed katani. 1 second. It says that he's standing. How is his hand three tefachim off the ground if he's standing up? That doesn't make any sense. V'socha. No, he's leaning over. He's like leaning over. He's asking for money, whatever it is, and or for food. And, but his hand, because he's leaning over, is very close to the ground. He's standing in a pit. He's standing in a hole, and therefore he's standing up, but his hand is very close to the ground. Where he's particularly short. He's particularly short, and then his hand is within three tzvachim of the ground. Really? Like, really? We're saying that the case that the Tana wanted to teach us, like the case of Hotzah, the Tana wanted to teach us, this is what you're chaya for. Isn't this like crazy, obscure case of a guy standing in a pit? Like, there was no more normal, standard way the Tana could have taught us this Mishnah, this teaching about Hotza'ah, aside from this very, very particular case. It's difficult to assume that this very particular case of when a person is standing in a pit is our classic case of what Hotza'ah is. Rather, I have a simple answer. Just say that a person receives something into his hand normally, and therefore it's like a dalad al dalad. It's like it's a place of 4-on-4. It's not actually a place of 4-on-4, but 4-on-4 constitutes a significant area, right? Now, if you generally receive things in your hand from another person's hand, then we treat your hand like a significant area for in terms of receiving things, even if it's not the proper size. And similar, person's hand is as if it is 4x4. Right? If you threw something into your friend's hand, you're chayav. Right? So what do we learn from there? That a person's hand is similar to him, like it's a place of 4x4, it's a significant makum. It's like, didn't we already say that that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita? Why didn't he teach me twice that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita? Because if I only would have taught it to you once without the second teaching, what would I have said? It's only when you say that, oh, I want my hand to be a place of dalad al dalad to receive a thing. What if you don't want it? If you don't want it because you don't want to be chayav, because, you know, you don't want this person to be chayav for throwing something into your hand, then maybe it doesn't count as a place that's dalad al dalad. Kamash Milan. So we learn from there that even whether you want it or whether you don't want it, your hand constitutes a place of dalad al dalad because you generally receive things in your hand. It constitutes a significant domain in order to receive for the purpose of Hanach, Amar Yavin, Amar Eli, Amar Yochanan, Amar Mekom Kibel Chayv. If you stood in place and received the thing, then it's Chayv for Hotzah, which we said earlier. Akar Mekom. But if you got out of your place, the Kibel, and then you received it, like you ran toward it, you're like, oh, that thing's gonna fall on the ground, I should go run and catch it. Then that's not the guy's fault who threw it into your hand, because he didn't really throw it into your hand, he threw it to a random place, you went and caught it. Potter. Then the guy who threw it is Potter. Acherim say, Amad b'mekom v'kivel chayev. If you stood in place and received it, and the person who threw it is chayev for otzah, Akam b'mekom v'kivel Potter. If you left your place and you got and you received it, then you're Potter. By Rabbi Yochanan, Zarech Hefetz v'na'akar hu b'mekom v'chaz v'kivel mahu. Rabbi Yochanan asks the following question. If you threw something for Amad and then you ran over and caught it in a different place, is that a proper hotza'ah? You yourself caught it. My coming by late. Well, what's really the question here? I mean, you did the malacha. Why would that be a problem? You did a kira, you did a hanacha. That should be all we need to establish you did something wrong. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava, Shnei Kochot Adam, Echad coming by late. No, what's our actual question? About when you're doing two very distinct actions, right? Not just that you transferred it from here to there, but that you're doing the throwing in one place and the receiving in a different place, right? It's not all one long action that you're doing. You're doing one action over here, and then you're saying, oh, you know what? I want to complete this action. I'm going to do the different action over there. It's not one long action of Hotza'ah. It is a throwing, and then a subsequent receiving. Do we count that as two different people? If it's two different people, like we said the other day, two different people can't do a malacha. One person needs to do all of it. So do we see two distinct actions of the same person that's not one continuous action, as though it's all done by one person, or do we see that as if it's two different people? Do we say that two kochot of one person is like one person doing the whole thing, v'chayev, and therefore you're chayev? Or do we say that it's like two different people because it's two different kochot, and then you're pater? Teku. Let it stand. We're not sure what the answer to that question is. Amar Avin, Amar Yochanan, Hichnis Yad Oto Chatzer Chaveru. You put your hand into your friend's yard, Vekibel Meg Shaman, and you took rainwater, Vehotzi, and then you took out the rainwater, Chayev. You are obligated. Matkivla Rabizera challenged that. Maliyatinu Chaveru, Maliyatinu Shamayim. Wait a second. Really? If your friend would have put something into your hand and you were to pull it back, you would be Pater. because you didn't do the Akira. You didn't lift it up. So what does it matter whether your friend put your hand put it in your hand or whether Shemayim put it in your hand? You collected, you got rainwater in your hand. You didn't do the Akira. So why would you be chayev? Ihu lo haver Akira. In neither case, in both cases, you did not actually lift up the thing that you're pulling back, so you shouldn't be chayev. Lo tem akiva ela kala. No, no, no. So don't say that you receive the rainwater. That's not what we're talking about. You collect the rainwater, right? You try to like gather it as it's falling, and therefore that constitutes a proper akira. Vahaba inan akira malgabe makom dalit veleika. One second. Who cares if you gathered it from the air while it was falling? You needed to lift it off a proper place of dalit tfachim in order to constitute a proper akira. Amar Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Rav Huna, kigon shekalat malgabe kota. Yeah, in Achinami, you put your hand right next to a wall, and then the rainwater was just like pouring down on the wall and dripping into your hand, and so the kotel is your place's dalit dalit. Similarly, we have a problem when if you say that you collected from on a wall. Why? Because it never came to rest. It doesn't constitute as if you picked it up off of a wall. It never came to rest. It just fell onto the wall and it's continuing its way down to the ground. That's not lifting it off of a place that's Dalat David. Kedama Rava, in accordance with what Rava says, Bekotel Meshupa, right? So Rava says elsewhere that we're taught that this problem by Hotz exists with a diagonal wall, meaning a slanted wall. It's not straight up and down, it's on a slant. In which case, here too, let's say he's talking about a slanted wall, where you're collecting the water on a slanted wall, and so it's not that the water is just incidentally touching the wall as it goes down to the ground, but it's come to a stop, because it's on a slant, it's on a diagonal. Achanami, Bekotel Meshupa. So here too, he's talking about a diagonal wall, so you collect the rainwater off of it, and then you pull it off. It's like you lift it off the place of Dalad Dalad, and you're chayev, because it's Akira, and you transfer domain. Where did Rava say that we were talking about a slanted wall? Where did Rava say this? Ahadithnan, on that which we taught in a Mishnah, right? If you were reading a book, and a book was always a scroll, right, on a ledge, means Galgila Sefer Miyado, and the Sefer, the part of the scroll fell out of your hand, go Etzlo. You're allowed to hold on to the part that you're holding, and just keep and like rewind it like inward, right? Meaning even though it may have gone into it, wandered into a different domain, you're in one domain and the scroll is in a different domain. You just got to keep winding it up towards you, and it doesn't constitute that you're transferring it from one domain to another. Hayakor Rosh Hagag. If you're reading on a rooftop and it's Galgal Sefer Miyado, and then the part of the Megillah, part of the scroll fell out of your hand. It's a nice Daviomi coincidence, by the way. We're talking about Megillahs. Part of the Megillah fell out of your hand and off the roof. So if it fell off the roof and it fell down, if it has not come within 10 tvachim of the ground, you're allowed to reel it back into you. Right? But if it comes within 10 tvachim of the ground, then we say the ground has now acquired it. It's now in the domain of the ground. It's not in your domain anymore. So if you were to scroll back the parchment inward, you'd be taking it out of the domain of the ground. There's the rabbim bringing it back into the yachid, and that would be achnasa v'avenan bas. Let's talk about that case for a second. My hof chol ktav. Why do you have to? Meaning the term that you turn it on its ktav is basically just a respectful way of resting the scroll. Right. So why do you have to do that? Like meaning you can't bring it in. That's basically what the Gemara is saying. Why can't you reel it in at this point? Ha lo nach. It hasn't settled, meaning it's just floating in midair, and we said that something only really becomes in its domain if it's settled, like the rainwater, right? It hasn't settled, and therefore it's not a proper Akira. So here too, say that the parchment never settled because it hasn't, or it's not going to be a proper Akira because the parchment never settled, right? It never came in contact with the ground. So it must be they're talking about a curved, a leaning wall, meaning it didn't just fall off the edge of the wall, rather it started rolling on a diagonal wall, not straight up and down, but on a nice diagonal, such that it did actually come to a stop within 10 tvachim of the ground. Okay, I understand if we're talking about a scroll. A scroll can roll and just stop rolling on a diagonal wall. But if we're not talking about a scroll, if we're talking about water, then you can't You can't apply one to the other. Water doesn't just stop on a diagonal wall. Water is going to go to the end. No, rather, okay, so throw that all out. Meaning, what does it mean that you're collecting in your friend's chatzer, you're collecting rainwater? You're collecting it from a pit, from a hole. It fell into a hole, and that's where you're collecting it from, and that's why it's a proper akira. Guma pshita, isn't that obvious if you're collecting it from a hole? Like, what's your hava mean? You can't take water out of your friend's domain. What's your hava mean? Mauritema, what would you have said? Maybe you would have said that water that fell on top of other water is not a proper hanacha. It's not considered like it rested there. It's just incidentally there because it's water on top of water, kamash melan. So we see from there that water on top of water is a proper hanacha. And by the way, Rava follows his own shita here that is consistent with his shita elsewhere. Dama Rava, as Rava holds, hainu hanachatan, that water on top of water, that is how we see water that has come to rest. Egos agabe ma'im. However, if a nut is floating on top of water, lo avei anachata, right? That does not constitute as actual resting. We don't see it. If a nut is just floating on water, we don't see that nut has come to rest. So Rav asks the following question. Egos bekli v'kli tzaf al gabay mayim. If you have a nut in a vessel, and the vessel is kind of just floating there on the water, do we look at where the egos is in its position, which is in the kli, and it's resting in the kli, and therefore it's considered resting, so you can't take it out. O dilma bater kli az linan. Or do we hold that we go after the kli, v'halo naich, denied, and the kli itself has not come to a proper rest because it's moving around constantly within the water, and therefore it hasn't reached a proper anacha, and therefore you could lift it up. Take you. We don't know the answer to that question. Let's leave it unresolved. Shemesh tzafal gabe yain. Oil that is resting on top of wine, which doesn't mix properly. The oil is just going to be floating on top there. Machloket Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbanan. That's actually a machloket as to how we see that. Do we see them as one entity, the oil and the wine mixed together? Or do we see them as two distinct entities because the oil won't mix with the wine, it's floating on top? It's not. We learned in the Mishnah. Shemesh tzafal gabe yain. Oil that is floating on top of wine, v'naga tvul yom b'shemen, and a tvul yom, someone whose tameh touches the oil, do we say that the entire thing is pasul? Do we say that he just made everything tameh? Well, if we see it as one entity, the oil and the wine together, then he made everything tameh. But if we don't see the oil and wine together, we really see them as distinct entities, and he only touched the oil, then the wine should be fine. Lo pasal el shemen. He only made the shemen pasal. Bilvad. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Amar Shneim Mechubarim Zelazer. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the wine and the oil are attached, and therefore they all constitute as one thing. Amar Rabbi Abin, Amar Rabbi Eli, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hayataun Ochli Namashkin Venichna Siyotze Kolayom. Another thing. If you loaded yourself up with food and drink, and you're going in and out of the domain all day long. Let's just understand exactly the case we're talking about here. When you put the food and drink on your back, you're in a private domain. You did not think that you were going to leave to go to the public domain, right? You thought you were going to walk back and forth within a private domain from one corner to the other. Because of that, when you did the Akira, right, when you lifted something off by beginning to walk, you didn't do anything wrong because you thought you were going to remain in a private domain. And we said by Shabbat that you have to do it. You have to do it in a very, very precise way called a malechet machshevet, right? Where your intention is to do what is usser. But here, your intention when you started moving was not to do what is usser. You didn't mean to bring this from inside to outside. You just thought you were going to be walking inside back and forth. In which case, when you did the akira, when you did the uprooting, you didn't think that you were going to do anything wrong. You just kind of thought you were walking back and forth. So you don't have an akira here. I mean, on a derabanan level, you can't do this. But on a deoraita level, you don't have a proper akira because when you first started moving, you didn't do anything wrong. You thought you were standing in the private domain. Then you just ended up leaving the private domain, and now you're in the public domain, but now you don't have an Akira because the Akira wasn't wrong. The Akira was under the impression that you're going to remain in a private domain, and then you just keep walking in and out and in and out, but you never stop, in which case you never have an Akira. So it's only once you stop and then continue going with the intention of doing something wrong or the intention of leaving the domain that you have a proper Akira and therefore a subsequent Hanacha. V'husha ama kolyom kulo enu chayv. So you're not chayv if you walk back and forth all day until you actually stop. Achiyah. Once you stop and then you continue, then you had a proper hanach and akira. Amar abaye v'husha amad lifosh. And by the way, that's only, you're only chayav if you stand in place to rest. right? Mimai, if standing place to rest as opposed to just to adjust your burden. You have to actually want to rest. That constitutes a proper stop. Mimai, so how do we know that to be the case? Right? That because we learned the following teaching. Let's say you're walking 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim. You walk 4 amot in a public domain. You're not allowed to walk 4 amot in a public domain, right? Meaning walking 4 amot in a public domain is tantamount to transferring domains. Meaning we said you can't go from a private to a public or a public to private or two different privates, right? However, what if you just walk within a public domain all day long? Oh, you didn't switch domains? Yeah, but it's still a problem of otzah. We consider every dalad amot within a public domain as its own domain. And therefore, you cannot just walk all day long within a public domain. Every 4 amot is its own domain, and you're chayev for going 4 amot within a public domain. So if you're going 4 amot in a public domain and you stop in order to right? If you just stop to take a rest, then, if you stop to take a rest in the middle, let's say you walk 2 amot and then you stop, and then you walk another 2 amot and then you stop. We don't actually see that as though you walked 4 amot. We see it, you walked 2 amot and that was its own, distinct walking. And then you continued another 2 amot, and that was its own distinct walking. We don't connect the two because you had a proper stop, because you stopped to take a rest. You had a full stop, and therefore we see it as two different distinct walkings of 2 amot. However, lekatef chayev. But if you stopped just to adjust the burden on your back, then you're chayev. Why? Because we don't really consider that as a proper stop, such that it creates two different scenarios of walking. We see it as you walked a full dalad amot. The stopping that you did to adjust the burden wasn't a proper stop. Chutz dalad amot. However, if you left dalad amot, like our case, amad lefush, right, chayev. If you stopped to take a rest, then you're chayev. Why? Because what did we want from our case? Because if you started in a private domain, you're walking back and forth in a private domain, and you never intended on leaving, then once you do leave, you never had an akira, because you need to have an akira when you intend to leave. But here, you intended to stay when you started walking, and now that you left, you never had the proper akira, because you just continued walking. And so if you stopped, and you had a full, proper stop, and then you decided to continue going, then you have a proper akira, such that you would be chayev for hotzah. Lekatef pater. However, if you just stopped to adjust the burden on your back, then you're pater. Why? Because it's not a proper stop. So in the first case, because stopping to take a rest is a proper stop, that interrupts the 2 amot that you walked from the next 2 amot that you walked, and you didn't walk a full dalet amot. Whereas if you stopped just to adjust the burden, that's not a proper stop, and then we're going to mitzaref the 2 to the 2 and say you walked 4 amot. However, in the second case, it's switched, because if you stopped to take a proper rest, right, that is, if you stop to take a proper rest, then we're going to say when you start walking again, now this is a brand new walking, right? It's a brand new walking, and therefore, it's a brand new walking, and therefore we say this is the proper akira, and you plan on leaving. In which case, you're going to be chayev. However, if you didn't stop to take a proper rest, rather just to adjust the burden of your back, then we still consider it as a continuation of your initial akira, which you didn't think you were doing anything wrong when you did that akira. My kamashmala. What do you want to come to teach me here with this din? Shelo haita akira mishar rishona lekach. Right? Just to tell me that the akira from Mishat Rishona, when I initially started walking, that didn't constitute a proper akira because I didn't intend on walking. Ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan Chalazimna. 1 second. We already just taught that. Why would you teach me that again? Rabbi Yochanan already expressed his shita that if you didn't have an akira with the wrong intention at the beginning, then it's not a proper akira. You're not going to be chayev. Rabbi Abi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amavir Chafatzi Mizavit Lazavit V'nim Lachalein V'otzian P'tur. Shloita Akira Mishat Rishona. Okay, where did Rabbi Yochanan teach that? Meaning, you just said, well, Rabbi Yochanan already taught me that. Why do I need to teach it again? Where did Rabbi Yochanan teach me that? As Rabbi Yochanan has said that someone who transfers items from one corner to a different corner and back and forth and back and forth, and he decides, hey, you know what? I kind of want to leave this private domain with it. And then he decides, okay, I'm going to leave it. And he took them out. He's potter. Why is he pater? Because he never had a proper akira. Because when he lifted up, he thought he was going to stay in a private domain. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. In which case, I already know that Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that if you lift something up and start walking with the intention of staying in a private domain, and you ultimately leave that private domain, you go into a public domain, that doesn't constitute akira because when you lift it up, you didn't plan on going to the public domain. In which case, why do I need you to tell me Rabbi Yochanan's shita twice? Lekach amorai ninhu mar amar la behai lishna mar amar la behai lishna. Because actually, it was just taught by two different amorayim. Meaning, inachinami, you don't need Rabbi Yochanan to teach you twice. I had two different Amoraim who wanted to teach you the same law, and they taught it to you from two different cases, but both is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. This is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. One Amora quoted him to explain the following case of when you pick a chefetz up and you wanted to walk back and forth in the private domain. The other one taught it in our case when you want to walk in and out all day long, but that wasn't your initial intention when lifting it up. So in Achinami, we don't need Rabbi Yochanan to teach it twice. However, two Amoraim taught Rabbi Yochanan Shita in the cases that they were discussing, and that's why we need two different teachings of Rabbi Yochanan that ultimately amount to the same thing. It's two different Amoraim who were teaching Rabbi Yochanan's Shita in two different cases.